Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. Once you get there, you'll be like, oh yeah, I did know that verse, but... Daniel. Zechariah 4, verse 10, the Bible says, "For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. With those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro throughout the whole earth." Like I said, I think a verse, once you read it, I think you remember you know it. I know we've been here several times before over the years, but it starts off with a question. The question is, "For who hath despised the day of small things?" Now, I don't know if you know the answer to the question. I mean, I don't know that this answer is in the text. You know who hath despised the day of small things? Well, number one, I mean, Japheth, in general, despises the day of small things. You know, the white guy. You know, what does Japheth do? Does he get around the world in canoes? No, he builds, like, giant ships and sails all over the place. And he builds big bridges and rocket ships and what else? I mean, everything. Skyscrapers. Japheth doesn't live in a hut. He lives in the Sears Tower. I don't think the Sears Tower is there anymore. It's something else. But anyway, you get the idea. You know, Japheth, I mean, Americans by and large, because America's kind of, I think of Americans as, Japheth as America. But anyways, what's the best house in America? The big one. Who's the most successful? The guy with the most money in the bank, right? All this stuff. I was looking at TVs the other day in Best Buy. There's like, I think it was 75-inch TV. I mean, it was huge. You know what the best TV at Best Buy is? That one. Whatever. Deer season's coming up. A lot of guys, I mean, the big deer is not the good one to eat, but there's a lot of guys. You know what he wants? He wants the big one. You go fishing, what are you hoping for when you're fishing? Oh, the big one. You know, that's people. I mean, I think it's even not just Americans, it's American Christians. What's the best church? Well, the big one. You know, who's got the best Sunday school? But the guy with the most people, right? I mean, I'll show you the verse. Look at 1 Timothy 5. There's a pervert in 1 Timothy 5 you're supposed to stay away from. 1 Timothy 5, look at verse 3. I'm at 1 Timothy 6, verse 3. "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the word of our Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions of and strifes of words, whereof come envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, say that perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, his mind is corrupt, destitute of the truth, supposing to gain his godliness, from such withdraw thyself." Stay away from them. And, like I said, pervert disputings, destitute of the truth, supposing to gain his godliness, from such turn away, or from such withdraw thyself, sorry. People think that, gain is godliness. The guy that's got the most must be the best. Like I said, he's perverse. You ought to stay away from him. Gain is getting more. And they think, well, he's godly. And who's that? That's a typical Laodicean, by the way. Typical Laodicean, in order not to hurt their feelings, they got to change verse 5. They say godliness is a means to gain, And they don't say anything about keeping away from them. But then, it is those that supposing gain is godliness. They think, well, the guy that's got the most must be the best. Let me ask you a question. What missionary are you going to support? The guy with 5 converts? 50 converts? 500 converts? 5,000 converts? Which one should you give your money to? How about the guy that got 2 converts? Or a convert? Or no converts? I don't know. A lot of times I'm just kind of very suspect of missionary letters. I think a guy wants to convince her, man, I'm really working over here. I mean, I can't blame the guy. He knows what side of the bread is buttered. What about the guy that just, he's staying faithful and he doesn't get nothing for it? I said maybe 1 or 2 or 3 or 4, maybe none. And I used to get these letters from a guy, and I always thought, man, I think you are a crook. I can't prove it in court. I think the guy's a crook. Every letter's like, man, we built 50 buildings. I'm not even kidding. Like, man, we built buildings here. We built buildings there. We built buildings over here. and I just happened to get one of his letters last week, and I was like, man, they're still the same. Man, we are building stuff. I mean, not little churches. I mean, man, we got a big project going here and a big project over there. Send us money. You know what I think some people do in Laodicea? They think, man, he built a 5,000-seat auditorium. Then they get out their checkbook. And here's Joe Blow. He's got nothing going on over there. Nothing he can put, you know. And that's not to get on that too much, but, you know, those supposing gain his godliness from such withdrawal, get away from it. You know, it's not just how much money in the bank, you know, like I said, you know, they have this idea that, well, things must be okay. We got more people coming, right? You know, and, it's, you know, get away from them. And I was going to mention this brochure. I won't mention too much about it. You know, I get this stuff and I look at it. You know, you can see it's glossy. It's got pictures. I'm sure they spend a lot of money, money putting it together. They're having a big steak dinner. They're inducting some guy into the Christian Hall of Fame. All this stuff. There's not one Bible verse anywhere on this expensive, glossy brochure anywhere. And I got 8 idiots going to be preaching at this big conference. Not one of them say, hey, maybe we ought to put a Bible verse somewhere in our big brochure. You know, 8x11, you know, glossy photos and the whole deal. You know, so the question is, who hath despised the day of small things? You must be doing good. You know, church is growing. You know, all this stuff. And it's not just, you know, white Laodicean, you know, modern Christians. I mean, Zechariah is a prophet. I mean, sent to the Jews. And he reproves them with the question, for who hath despised the day of small things? And it is. It's a question, but it's a reproof all at the same time. I'll just tell you before we get further. You know who does not despise the day of small things? God Almighty does not despise the day of small things. You ought to be very grateful that he doesn't. Otherwise, some little jamoke like you might have never got saved. Not, you see your calling, brother. Not many what? I mean, not many mighty, not many noble, not many wise men after the flesh. I mean, you're just a little nothing, but God saved you anyways. You know, for who hath despised the day of small things? Not God, and I'm very glad for it. Because not to hurt your feelings, but you're all just a bunch of little small things. You know, God not only didn't despise you, he loved you. God hath commended his love towards us, you know, while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, Ezekiel, God's talking about wanting to, you know, save the nation. You know what he's saying? He says, I have sought for a man among them. I didn't need a job. I didn't need a big group, or, you know, I just needed a guy. And I was looking for one guy. That's all I was looking for. One guy that I could use. Just something little. You know, everybody knows this. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, what? There am I in the midst of them. You know, I mean, a church with two or three and Jesus in it is better than a big mega church with Jesus on the porch pounding on the door. But, you know. And you get the idea. And you know this. There's joy in presence of the angels of God over how many sinners that repenteth. One. That's all it takes. And there's joy in the presence of the angel over one sinner that repenteth. That's all it takes. I'll tell you. I keep getting asked over and over. It's the same person all the time. What do you think about revival? You think revival is going to happen? I keep telling them, no, I don't think it's going to happen. I'll just step out in a prophet mode. You know what I'll tell you? The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Where does that put your country in way of revival? You know, but anyways, I don't think the Lord is dying for a big revival to sweep the nation, by the way, in Laodicea. You know, the verse is Revelation 3, verse 20. If any man, singular, just one guy, that's all I'm looking for, somebody. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, again, singular, and sup with him, singular, and he, singular, with me. Lord, to this day and age, I'm just looking for somebody. Knocking on the door, the whole stinking mess inside is rotten. I'm just knocking to see if one person inside wants to come out and have supper with me. And like I said, you ought to be real glad, you know, the Lord does not despise the day of small things. Because that would leave all of you in a fix. Not to hurt your feelings, you're not much. But God Almighty wants to save you, wants to have fellowship with you, wants to use you anyways. So I'd be real glad God's not the typical, you know, white Laodicean Christian, you know, American. And what about you? I'll just tell you, if you get right, just you all by yourselves, I won't put it in Revival Fires newspaper or none of this stuff. But get right anyway. Who cares? Just get right anyways. Just you all by yourself. You know, and like I told you before, we won't turn there for time's sake. Everybody remember, actually I've turned there because I can never remember the guy's name. I don't know why I can't remember his name. I just never can. 2 Samuel 23, I know it's verse 11. And after him was Shema, the son of Agi, the Harite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, and where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistine. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. I know I mention that verse all the time. What does he do? He defends a little patch of beans out in the field somewhere. Lentils. And what does God say? And the Lord wrought a great victory. Just one guy standing in a little piece of ground and holding it. And God says, man, that is a great victory. It's been, so you, just all by yourself, if nobody else wants to do it, you just get right. You know, nobody will go and blow a trumpet in the street and make a big deal about it. But, you know, God looks here at one guy, just held one little piece of ground. He's, man, that's a great victory. You know, by the way, you're supposed to put on the whole armor of God for what? That you may be able to stand. That's it. Just stand. Don't move. Just stand right there. Just get right, stay right, and God will say, you know, that's a great victory. Nobody else will think anything of it, because you live in a day and age where they do despise the day of small things. And so, you know, and so Zechariah, he's reproving God's people at that question. And I'll tell you, you ought to really think and remember when Zechariah is preaching. Look at Ezra chapter 5. Ezra chapter 5, verse 1. It says, then the prophets, Haggai the prophet, and Zechariah the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem, in the name of God of Israel, even unto them. So there he is. The day of Ezra, you know, the day of Zerubbabel, that's when Zechariah is preaching. That's when Zechariah shows up and says, for who hath despised the day of small things? Right here in this time period in Ezra. And I'll tell you, look at Ezra chapter 6, you see him again mentioned, Ezra 6 verse 14. Says, and the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, and they builded and finished it according to the commandment of God of Israel, or the God of Israel, sorry, and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. So again, it's Haggai and Zechariah. And it says, the elders of the Jews builded, it says, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. I think there's probably messages in here. The builders prospered under Zechariah and Haggai's prophesying, they're preaching. You know, the builders prospered. Now, I'll tell you know what God is? I think God is a builder. You know, I think this progress. Who hath he weaned from the breast, right? Or who has he taught milk? Them that are weaned from the breast. And it's here a little, there a little. And that's what God does. He kind of builds. A little bit here, here a little, there a little. You know, line upon line. Precept upon precept. I mean, God's doing something with you, and it's kind of a process. A little bit here. You know, don't despise that little bit of progress you're making. A little bit there. Don't despise little small victories. Just persist and march on. If you're a little bit better today than you were before, then thank God. You know, that's who prospered, the builders. Everybody knows how a building goes. You put up a little bit, add a little bit more. And eventually there's a building. And that's who prospered. He's, you know, under the preaching of Haggai and Zechariah. I'll just tell you, I guess confession's good for the soul. It was last week. I was, you know, they told me it'd be 2 years till my arm was back to where it was. Was it last week? And I was kind of like, man, I was really kind of just, I was kind of discouraged, to be honest with you. And the guy keeps saying, he does these measurements. He says, yeah, it's going to be a while, but he keeps saying, you're making progress. You're better. It's better now than the last time we looked at it. And he keeps saying, you ought to be happy. It's a little bit better than it was. If there's no progress, if there isn't that little bit of improvement, then you ought to be worried about, you know. And that's what, you know, but it's, and people aren't patient, but it is. It's a little bit and a little bit. You build a house, you build a barn, you build the Sears Tower. I don't know. It's a little bit, and that's what it is. And good preaching, it helped prosper, you know, the building process here. But in the context of the building he's talking about, you know, these builders that prospered, you probably know it. It's the temple. It is the temple of God that's being built when Zechariah and Haggai are preaching to these people. And in the Old Testament, the temple was a big deal. And if you're a Jew in the Old Testament, that temple is the center of your religious life. And that episode, so it is. So why the reproof? For who hath despised the day of small things? You know, I read that. Who hath despised the day of small? To me, I read it like this. Who left a mess in the kitchen? Or who ate the last piece of cake? Who said that? You know, whatever it might be. Who hath despised the day of small things? Meaning, it better not be you. That's what it is. For somebody's doing it. Somebody did it. Who did it? When I find that, you know, that's what it is. Was it you? It better not be. Now look back to Zechariah. Look at verse 9. Zechariah 4, verse 9. Where the builders kind of got this process. And here's the process. The process is just starting. They laid this foundation. And then they're going to add a little bit more to it. And then, you know, that's... But the hands of Zerubbabel, says, have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. And he says, for who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. So like I said, it's a process. He laid the foundation of the temple and God's telling you, he's going to finish it. You know, they shall rejoice and they shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. You know, it's going to take some time. But, you know, right now, yeah, the foundation's laid. This process is going to go all the way through and it's going to be done. Little steps. You know, don't despise them. What happens is, look back to Ezra chapter 3. A temple's built and you see what happens. Well, I should say the foundation's laid. Ezra 3 verse 8. Now, in the second year of their coming unto the house of God at Jerusalem, you know, the people coming back and building the temple, in the second month began Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all they were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. Then stood Jeshua with his sons and his brethren, Kadmiel and his sons, the sons of Judah, together to set forward the workmen in the house of God, the sons of Henadad, with their son and their brethren, the Levites. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord, after the ordinances of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by chorus, and praising, and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. So they laid the foundation of the temple. It's a small step maybe, and God through Zechariah, you know, he told them, they laid the foundation, and God told them already, it's going to be finished. And you see, some people shout, they're happy, they're praising, they're singing. Other people are crying. They say, man, this house ain't nothing like the old one. And so he shows up and he says, who hath despised the day of small things? Because there's people out there, they are despising the day of small things. It's one small step in a temple that they think is much smaller, i.e. not as good as the one that was here before. God sends his messenger that says, for who hath despised the day of small things? Well, somebody's doing it. Somebody in the crowd should be like this. Yeah, I guess it was me. Like I said, it's not just, you know, they're shouting and crying. I think you ought to get this. You know, I'll move on. For some reason, some people are getting a blessing and someone's upset and crying about it. I mean, that's probably how, you know, that seems to just be the way it goes. Someone's getting a blessing and, you know, both in the same service and someone's getting upset. What happens is, look at Ezra 5, verse 1. No, we don't have to. That's Ezra and Haggai. Ezra 6, it's Ezra and Haggai. They're kind of a match set, these guys. They go together. Look at Haggai chapter 2, verse 1. Zechariah's buddy. The They laid the foundation. Some people are happy. Some people are praising. Some people are crying. And here he tells you in no uncertain terms what they're crying about. Guys that seen the old temple, you know, the bigger one, i.e. the better one, they're upset. They're not happy. Haggai 2 verse 1 says, in the seventh month, in the end, in the 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtai, government of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? So that's the problem. I mean, this one, compared to the old house, I mean, this one's nothing. This temple, it's not as big. If it's not as, I mean, it must be a big difference in size, by the way. This one, I mean, it's not just smaller. Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? It's a nothing compared to one from you. I mean, you know, granted, in Solomon's day, the Bible tells you, silver was as nothing in Solomon's day. Silver, who cares about silver? The whole temple was overlaid with gold, you know, and it was a big deal. And now they're looking at this one saying, man, we're just looking at the foundation, but I can just tell looking at it, this one ain't going to be as big as the other one. You know, and they're just figuring, well, if it ain't as big, it ain't as good. Here it is. It's returned captives laying this little foundation. It's not Solomon with all his treasures that David helped laid up for him for years and years before. It's just a bunch of guys, refugees almost. They're not really refugees, but kind of something similar. They finally make it back to their homeland, and they build the temple with what they got. And they say, boy, this is nothing. Some people are singing praises to God, and other people they're despising it for being too little. And they're crying about it. They despise it so much, they think it's too little. And I'll just say, you know, what happens to a little work that's despised for being little? Well, you forget about it. You know, it's a little stupid temple. Who cares about this little one? That's what he tells them. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? And the next verse is, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. You know what happens? The foundation's laid. Some people are singing praise and saying, oh, this is awesome. Some guy is over here crying, man, you think this is awesome? You should have seen the temple we had when I was a kid. This thing stinks, man. And everybody hears this, really, this is a lousy temple. Yeah, it's a lousy temple. It's a little one. And you know what happens is they say, well, if this is a lousy little temple, they could quit. And that's what God tells them. Yet now be strong and work. A little work that's despised, besides it, just forget it. I mean, it amounts to nothing. Who cares? That's the danger they're in right there. So God says, be strong, you, and everybody else, and work. Don't let some jerk tell you this temple's too small. You just get busy and do it. You know, it's. I'll just say this. Look at 1 Kings chapter 8. Forget it's smaller. I mean, man, it is nowhere near in grandeur. Like I said, the old one was overlaid with gold. 1 Kings chapter 8, look at verse 10. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand and minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Right, that doesn't happen anywhere in Ezra. They build the temple. There's no big cloud that moves in and chases all the priests off. That doesn't happen. I mean, I'll just tell you, the glory of the Lord eventually moves in this temple, just not in Ezra, and not as spectacularly here as it does in 1 Kings 8 either. So since it's not as grand when it finally happens, for the most part, everybody in the world misses it. When it finally happens, it's much smaller. That's why he tells them, even before the building's done, just when the foundation's laid, he warns them and reproves them, says, for who hath despised the day of small things? Who are you to say this temple's too small? This work doesn't, you know, add up in your estimation. You know, by the way, they say, where's he? I don't have the page here now, but Haggai 2, they say, to the effect of, man, it's small in our eyes. Is it in your eyes as of nothing? Anybody kind of remember, we've been going through Judges, remember Judges? Who are you to say how something isn't? Everyone's doing what's right in his own eyes. And here in your eyes, this temple looks like it's nothing. Who are you to say what it is? You know, God says, be strong and work. I don't care what you think of it. You just get it done. That's what I said. It's a question, but it's a reproof. Who hath despised the day of small things? You know, you say, you know, and like I said, it better not be you. And I'll just tell you, it's Job 32. He says, old man, how does he say it? The great men are not always wise, neither is there wisdom with the... I have to look at it. Job 32:9. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. You know, usually the older guys are, you know, they're the wiser guys than the younger guys. Everybody remembers Rehoboam. He asked the young guys, what should I do? Or asked the old guys, what should I do? And he asked the young guys, what should I do? And he goes with the young guys. Everybody says, see, you should have listened to the old guy. I'll just tell you, the old guy's not always right just because he's old. As general rule, that's probably, it's the old guys here that say, man, I remember the old temple. The old one was really something. This one's just tiny. It's just a foundation, you know, that kind of deal. Ecclesiastes 7, what does he say there? About be not, about, you know the verse. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 10. I'm in the wrong book. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. So don't say, don't be, you know, you're not wise, saying, man, why was it so much better in the old days? I mean, the church used to be big and better. I mean, it's not a bigger and better. I'll just tell you, by the way, and you don't notice in America because you grew up and seeing, you know, commercials say, this roll of paper towels is bigger and better. This, you know, this one is bigger and better. That's marketing speak, man. Bigger and better are not synonymous. They don't always go hand in hand. How about tumors? Is bigger better? No, maybe paper towels, but everything else, it doesn't matter. Bigger does not mean better. You know, the church, why did the church used to be, and that's how they look at it though. It used to be bigger. It used to be better. Why was it bigger and better back in those days? God doesn't want you looking back. Because maybe something was bigger before, and it's not as big as it is today, and despising the day is a small thing. Like I said, the danger is the work might stop. Haggai 2, he tells them, yet now be strong and work. Yeah, it might not be as big as it used to be. So what? Who had despised the day a small thing? Now, today, be strong and work. If you despise the little bit you have now, guess what? It might result in you doing absolutely nothing. And that's why, you know, Haggai and Zechariah, they're kind of like they're partners. It's a match set. Who had despised the day of small things? Yeah, the other guy says, I know it doesn't look like much to you today compared to the one you used to have. So what? Be strong and work. Just get it done. You know, and like, you know, maybe there's not revivals like there used to be in 1846. I told you, was it 2 or 3 weeks ago? I didn't read it out loud, but I told you I read a thing by Spurgeon saying, man, the church just ain't what it used to be. I said, man, you ain't seen nothing, Charles Spurgeon, in 1846 or whatever the date was. So what? There might not be revivals like before. I mean, you're still, right? The picture is gleaning in the fields of Boaz. You know, everybody knows what gleaning is. A little bit gets left behind, go pick it up. You know, and I'll just tell you, by the way, there's a truth here for you. When Boaz sees her faithfully coming and gleaning a little bit that's left in the field, what does he do? He tells his men, drop some handfuls of purpose. You know, so he sees her going every day, getting that little bit that's left. He says, give her a little bit more. I'll just tell you, it's still not a great harvest. It's more than it was, but it's still not barn loads of grain either. It got bigger. It's, you know, it's still kind of small. You know, still, I mean, who hath despised the day of small things? Instead of looking back at how much better it used to be, people ought to be saying, you know what? They should be looking forward to seeing how much better it maybe can be. And you look back too much and you miss what God has for you right now today. Quit crying over how much bigger the old temple used to be and work with the one you got now. Get it done. You know, Philippians 3 is talking about forgetting those things which are behind. I'll just tell you, some people can't forget some bad thing that happened to them. I can't forget some bad thing somebody said to him or some bad thing somebody did. Other people can't forget how much better they think things used to be. You know, and so they weep. That's happening here. These old guys, they remember how much better it used to be. And like I said, bigger does not equate better. That's all they know is, well, the other one was bigger. You know, so they weep. And I'll just tell you, what are you crying about? It's not even finished yet. I mean, we just started. This is just the foundation. Why are you crying about it already? And so they weep. Okay, maybe this one's not as grand as the former temple. It's still a temple. I mean, if you're a Jew in the Old Testament, you need a temple. You're finally starting to get one again. And you're not in Babylon anymore, right? Just last week, it was much worse. Why are you crying about it? I mean, I'll just say, you got saved in Laodicea, right? I bet other people can still get saved in Laodicea. You did. I told you, you know, that 1 Corinthians 15:58, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I told you, if you ever want proof of it, just look at yourself. You got saved. You know, someone prayed for you. Someone preached to you, you know, witnessed to you. You got saved. You got right. I mean, you think it just, oh, well, that's it. Now it's over. No, I mean, I think you're living proof that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I mean, I'll say this. Like I said, you're not in Babylon anymore. It could be worse. If you've been in church for, you know, 20-some, 30-some years, you're supposed to have been taken over by the Soviets 25 years ago, right? I mean, I don't know, you guys remember sitting in church telling you the Soviets are coming, the Russians are coming. You're all going to a Soviet gulag. The New World Order is coming. They got concentration camps all over the world, right? Obama was going to kill you, close all the, you know, all this stuff. It never happened. You know, but I guess it could have happened. It could be a whole lot worse than it actually is. Shut up. It's a temple. The other thing is, shut up. It's a start. It's, why are you crying? It's just the foundation. You know, don't despise the little bit you have. You might lose it too. And you know how you have that little foundation that you didn't think was worth singing about? I'll show you. Look back to Ezra chapter 3. Ezra chapter 3, verse 10. Well, we don't have to read all Ezra 3. We already read it. Some people are singing. Some people are shouting. Some people are praising God. And other people are crying. You know, the priests, the old priests, the Levites, you know, the ancient people, they're weeping. And it's hard to know. It's hard to discern the weeping from the praising. You know, the crying from the shouting. It all gets kind of jumbled, mixed up. Like I said, someone's getting a blessing. Someone's getting their feelings hurt. Their nose bent out of shape. But I'll tell you, here's how you know that little foundation that some people are despising was worth rejoicing over. The first verse of the next chapter says, "Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity built the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said to them, let us build with you, for we seek your God." You know, kind of we've seen in Nehemiah, we looked at it. It's, hey, we'll all work together. We'll be friends. You know, they didn't care too much about it. And all of a sudden, the enemy looks and says, oh, man, they got a foundation laid. We better do something. The enemy doesn't say, they got a foundation laid. You should have seen the one they had 70 years ago. They don't say that. They say, uh-oh, something's getting done over there. We better do something about it. You know, that little temple might seem like it's nothing in your eyes, you know, like I said, kind of like in Judges. But the enemy says, oh, man, they're getting something done. You know, I think it's more than you think. You know, it's a bigger deal than these people crying about it think that it is. You might not think it much at a little bit you have. I'll just tell you what, your enemy does. And a little bit you have, he wants to take from you. And if you despise the little bit you have, you might get careless with it. You might let your guard down, and you might end up losing that little bit you do have. You know, everybody remember the parable? You know, Jesus tells, you know, about three servants all giving a little bit of money. What happens to the guy that's got the little bit? And just hit it, what happens? He takes it away from him. Gives it to somebody else. He lost. The little bit he had, he lost. Point being is, you might not have much. I wouldn't want to lose it if that's all I had was a little bit. And I can tell you, 1 Kings 8, you know, they build the temple. They dedicate it. And the glory of God moved in, and everybody's got to get out, and it was spectacular. I mean, that cloud moving into that temple, you couldn't have missed it for the world. I mean, it was just, you couldn't miss it. It was just happening. I mean, the glory of God, you know, one day moved into Zerubbabel's temple that he built here in Ezra. And it wasn't as quite as spectacular. And so when it finally happens, I'll just tell you what. Who hath despised the day of small things? If you despise the day of small things, you're going to miss out. Because when that glory of God moves in the second time, like I said, not as big and as spectacular as the first time. When it finally happens, everybody but two people misses it. When the glory of God finally moves into that temple. And I'll show you something. Look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. It says, "And behold, there is a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and a glory of thy people Israel." And see what happens? Here's little baby Jesus. He's 8 days old. I mean, small. I mean, I don't know what size of baby he was, but I mean, you get the idea. A little woman can carry him in her arms into the temple. And here finally, after years and years, this temple's built. And finally, here comes the glory of God moving into this temple. Who notices? This guy Simeon. You know, and it's like I said, he even says, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And not just that, you see in verse 28, everybody misses it. Simeon's there. Then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said. I don't forget what happens. Remember the first time this big, spectacular, you know, cloud moves into the temple. Everybody gets out. Here he comes again. Here comes the glory of God again, the second time in the temple. Here's some little Jewish girl carrying this, I don't know, 8-pound glory of God into the temple. This man picks him up in his arms and looks at him. You think that's a little thing? I mean, I don't think it is a little thing. I mean, that's a little package that's coming in, but that's a big deal. And he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, you know, and like I said, most people, and this woman, Anna, I mean, she ends up seeing it too as he's coming in. You know, the point being is, you better be real careful about despising the day of small things. You have no idea what you might miss out on. Because God does something, you know, and it's not as big as you like it to be or expected it to be or hoped it might be. You know, like I said, it's a reproof. For who hath despised the day of small things? It turns out most people do. Then you shouldn't. And the real message is Haggai chapter 2, is 2 verse 2, or 2 verse 4, he says, "Yet now be strong and work." Yeah, it's little. So what? Be strong. Do what you got to do. You know, and most, like I said, there was a dangerous man. This temple, this work, it ain't as big as the last. So what? Be strong and get it done. Quit crying about it. There's nothing. I tell my kids all the time, it's nothing to cry about. Yeah, it's not as big. It's a temple. Like I said, it's just a fountain. You don't know what it's going to turn into. You know, shut up, be strong, get busy, do your work. And stand will be dismissed in prayer. Amen. Lord, we do thank you for just your goodness, and Lord, we do thank you for this reproof here. And I think it, you know, especially for, you know, Laodicean American Christians, it's probably a good reproof we need. And Lord, help us just to think of you and how you have not despised a day of small things. You've not despised me for being little or my wife or my kids or this church. I mean, Lord, you still loved us and you still want to use us even though we're not much. And we thank you for that. And Lord, help us try to have, you know, the Bible talks about having the mind of Christ. Just that. Just whatever little bit of work you have for us, Lord, we just ask, help us be grateful and just help us to be strong and get it done. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.